This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind. And presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
This is the night he takes me through a tour at a Kosciuszko Street sewer.
It's Sunday night, and you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave. I want to thank all you listeners. Last week, we were on after the Mets game on Saturday night. They fooled us. And Sunday night, if you tuned in, you got the Mets and Yankees. Not the worst thing in the world. Two New York teams. What the heck? But we're back here at Sunday evening, 8 o'clock, and this is the place to be. WOR 710. We have listeners around the world, folks, on this number one show. Got some stats, thanks to a friend. I mean, if I tell you, people are coming in from California, well, around the world. South Korea, Netherlands, Brazil, China, Japan, Thailand, South Africa, Canada, Germany, United Kingdom, Israel, India, Russia, Sweden. It's amazing people are listening to this show all around the world. We will have a special guest in a little bit, Sarah Kaufman from the NYU Rudin Center for Transportation. But, you know, speaking of Yankees and Mets, I got to tell you something. I went to Citi Field Friday night. Somebody gave me some tickets. Thank you very much for the tickets, by the way. The food was great. And, you know, it's $22 to park. It's a bonus because if you go to Yankee Stadium, it's $35 to park. So it's $22 to park. I take out my Citibank credit card. And the attendant says, oh, you have a Citibank card? You don't have to pay. Parking is free. I said, oh, that's great. And you just have to park over there where the VIPs park. I said, well, it's like the opposite of where my gate is. Can't I just park with the regular cars? No, if it's free, you have to park over there. Okay. So I park over there. And I got there early, so I was sitting in my car, reading, texting, doing what everybody does, waiting for the gates to open. And all of a sudden, my car rocks, and I see this guy. I look to my right. He had just gotten out of his car, and I thought he pushed off my car. Let me make a long story short. At the end of the game, I said, let me just see the side of my car next to his Cadillac Escalade. And sure enough, I have a scratch from a door, like a wide bruise, on my rear door and my front door. So that freak parking is going to cost me a couple of $100 because some jerk in a parking lot doesn't have the courtesy not to smash his door into another car. Don't you just hate that? You know, sometimes you see brand new cars or very expensive cars parked on totally away from everybody else. They must have met this guy before. Amazing. No consideration. Just smash the door open into the car next to you and scrape the paint off it. Isn't that wonderful? I'm not very happy about that, folks. I'm not very happy. You know, I am happy about some New York City legislation passed by the city council. You remember my story about when I went in to buy a used car? By the way, this same very car that got scratched, which was in mint condition until the Mets game Friday night. The city council, they're calling it used car price transparency, that the price must display that they advertise with, it must be used the same price at the dealership and accurately reflect the total selling price of the vehicle, exclusive of any taxes, a registration or title fee. So this bill ensures that the advertised price, which attracts the customer into the dealership, reflects the complete price of the vehicle being advertised. And they also require that the price be displayed on the dashboard of the vehicle or on a sign alongside the vehicle. Now, dealerships are also going to be required to display any add-on products available for the car. The fines aren't that big. A first offense for a dealership is $500, a second offense within a year, $750, and a third offense within a year, $1,000. But I got to tell you something. If you didn't hear my story about buying a used car, you're going to hear it right now. I went in, I went online, and I saw a car that I wanted to buy at a certain used car dealer in Queens on Hillside Avenue. And I look in the parking lot, there's the car. And I tell the guy, you're going to sell the car today. I'm ready to buy that car. Let's go inside. So I give him the price that's online. And I pull out my check and I put it on the table. And I'm ready to fill it out. I said, let's get to it. I saw the price online. Let's move forward. He said, well, wait a second. Wait a second. There's a $500 preparation fee. I said, what are you talking about? I said, are there any other fees? There's a $500 paperwork fee. There's also a $500 transportation fee to get the car to their dealership. And I said, are you done? He says, no, my commission is $500. I said, what are you talking about? It's a used car. You make commission between the price the dealership bought the car for and they sell it for. And you get commission on that. Oh, you don't want to pay me any commission. I said, no, I want you to get your commission, but I don't want to get ripped off. You're charging me $2,000 more than was advertised, and that's out of my budget. That's a deal breaker. Well, I thought you were going to buy a car today. That's what you told me. I took my check. I got up, and I said, you really don't want to sell a car today, do you? When you're ready, give me a call. And he never called me, but I got a better deal somewhere up in Newburgh on a newer car. That was in much better condition, so I'm glad I didn't buy it. So, folks, look out for these used car salesmen, the city council in the city of New York. And, by the way, used car salesmen, it's not an easy job. You know, most of them are very hardworking and honest people. But I ran into a real, I can't say it on the air, an overly aggressive salesperson who really didn't have the customer in his best interest, that's for sure. We have a lot to talk about today, you know, with our guests. I got to tell you something, though. If you're a sports fan and you don't like traffic, a couple of years ago, they were doing work on the George Washington Bridge, replacing actual lanes, taking out the concrete and replacing the concrete. And I'm not kidding. If you were anywhere on the west side of Manhattan in the 80s, 80th Street, 90th Street, anywhere, it would take you 2.5 to 3 hours to get to the GW, the George Washington Bridge. Guess what, folks? Starting tomorrow night. Let me just pull out the release. Here it is. Beginning Monday, May 4th. Significant overnight delays. The closings will continue for the next 12 weeks. 3 or 4 of the upper level lanes will be closed in either direction. Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., and Friday and Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. I'm not kidding, folks. If you remember, so, you know, those people who went to the Rangers game where they lost in the last second, they lost twice if they were trying to get to the George Washington Bridge. They lost the game, and then they lost 3 hours of their life, which they're never going to get back, just trying to get home. So starting Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m., avoid the George Washington Bridge. Avoid the west side going north. Believe me, I've been there, and I've done that. Is Frank with us? Oh, okay, good. We'll get to my guest in just a second. Actually, you know, I have stats from NYPD for the month of March. The number of summonses that were given out. You know, do you take an express bus to work? You're getting there late? We'll talk about that. And lights and sirens on a Corvette? We'll talk about that, too. But right now, I'd like to introduce Sarah Kaufman from the NYU Rudin Center of Transportation. She's a digital manager, and she knows a lot about cutting-edge technologies in transportation, crowdsourcing, open data, social media, and urban systems. She used to work for the MTA, the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, and she led the open data program there, just to let you know. She had got a master's degree of urban planning from NYU's Wagner School, specializing in infrastructure, transportation, and communication. So I'd like to welcome Sarah Kaufman to the Taxi Dave Show. Welcome.
Hi, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. You know, it's funny because infrastructure, I'm actually going to be at a rally tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at City Hall. They're rallying for more federal funds, specifically for infrastructure for New York City. How important, you know, is money when it comes to infrastructure in New York City, or is that a stupid question?
It's not a stupid question. It's, of course, important. And the big question right now is how we can get infrastructure funded without costing too much to the residents of New York City.
Okay.
Both in terms of tolls and subway fares and taxes.
You know, you talk about tolls. Are you familiar with the Henry Hudson Bridge pilot project?
I am, yes.
All electronic. You know,
yeah.
I personally have a problem with it. I go over the Triborough, the RFK Bridge every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there is always many, many cars in the cash lanes. And I think what politicians overlook is the middle and lower classes who do drive, who simply can't afford to replenish a credit card, or don't have a credit card, or have messed up credit and can't get a credit card, and they're living day to day or week to week. You know, hence, I believe there's like $40 million or something that's owed in tolls on the Henry Hudson Bridge, and I think they're planning to expand the all-electronic toll system.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to expand it to?
Really, I'm not sure. I have heard that it's going to be expanded. It is an interesting question because it's a question of making these toll lanes more efficient versus serving all of the customers.
All right, let's talk about some stuff that you know about.
Okay.
You know, there are different neighborhoods in New York City. I was reading something, the title was Mobility, Economic Opportunity in New York City Neighborhoods, that there are inequalities in mobility in certain neighborhoods, and the NYU Rudin Center for Transportation, you know, identified that there were underserved neighborhoods in the public transportation system. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we looked at New York City's 177 neighborhoods, and
wait a second. Is that a trivia question? There are 177 neighborhoods in New York City?
With more than 200, it's by zip code. And it's zip codes with more than 250 people, because more than 250 residents, because as you may know, Rockefeller Center is a zip code, but there aren't so many residents there. And I think Prospect or Central Park is a zip code.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So 177 zip codes, zip coded neighborhoods. And how they vary by transportation access to jobs. So the idea was that we ranked all of these neighborhoods by how many jobs they could access within 1 hour, the number of jobs accessible within 1 hour on public transit. And, you know, we did find some unsurprising things, like areas of Midtown and downtown Manhattan are clearly linked to more job access. But what's interesting is that when you get to kind of outer Staten Island and eastern Queens, you have far fewer jobs accessible by transit. What's interesting is that the kind of middle third of these rankings, people who have some transit access, like one subway line requiring a transfer, you know, these are the people who have the lower incomes and have higher rates of unemployment. So, and I think the reasoning there is that the people with no transit, for example, South Staten Island, they just drive to work. You know, they don't bother with transit. But other people are kind of slogging along on, say, one extended subway trip.
So has the Rudin Center done any study on the tolls? There's been some talk about fair pricing, putting tolls on the free bridges right now?
Right. We haven't extensively studied that at this point.
Well, how about unextensively? Inextensively?
It's an interesting plan, but it's not in my area of expertise.
Okay, you're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Our phone number, by the way, is 800-321-0710. And our email address is taxihale@aol.com. We'll gladly take your calls and take your emails. You're always having great seminars over there and, you know, a lot of good things over there. Recently, you had something and you discussed the rush hour and what's perceived to be not enough transportation alternatives during rush hour in Manhattan. You know, some people who've been on this show have said if they drive a yellow cab, well, 10 years ago I did 45 fares in a shift, and today I'm doing 25 fares during a shift. So it's really the amount of traffic that's giving the illusion that there are fewer cabs. The fact is it's the traffic that's causing that. But you want to just synopsize that last meeting you had with technology folks and some taxi folks regarding rush hour?
Sure. We had about 40 people come to the Rudin Center, mostly data scientists, policymakers, kind of civic hacker types, who looked at the taxi shift change issue, which is kind of the time, I'm sure your listeners know about this, but it's the time when, for those who don't, it's the time when taxis are turned over between two leases for the same taxi, and resulting in taxis being unavailable during rush hour. We had the event with the Taxi and Limousine Commission, and it was sponsored by Google. And we looked at taxi data for the last year and some for-hire vehicle data, or black car data, during that time as well. And we tried to find some solutions for making it easier for taxi drivers to be available during the afternoon and evening rush hour, and finding better rest areas and handover locations for taxi drivers to transfer the vehicle.
Well, how about just letting us make right turns on bus lanes on Madison Avenue instead of having to go west in order to go east? West, south, and then east, a block out of the way, causing more traffic and backup. I mean, I just don't understand the logic in that. You know, stuff like that. But I'm sure the Rudin Center will come up with a great policy that'll satisfy everybody. The riding public,
I hope so.
The taxi drivers, and the MTA as well. Do you want to talk about anything coming up that the Rudin Center is having?
Yes, we are hosting an event on June 11th in the evening, and we're co-hosting with the Van Allen Institute. We're talking about the streetscape of the future. What will our streets look like in 20 years and 50 years and 100 years? You know, will people be driving cars or will the cars be driving themselves? And will people be riding bikes? Will they be walking around? What will store windows look like? What will food purchasing look like? So we will analyze these issues and kind of think creatively, and how can planners and everyone prepare for this future?
Oh, that sounds very interesting. That's June 11th, Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., 30 West 22nd Street.
That's
30
right.
West 22nd Street, the Van Allen Institute. You already had a gathering talking about self-driving cars. On one last note, what does it mean for New York City in the future?
That's a really good question. I mean, the positive the positive view is that people will walk more, and we won't have on-street parking because the people will kind of arrive at their locations, they'll be dropped off, and the car will go to some garage and park itself. And so we will have less traffic, we will have kind of more freedom to move around, fewer people just circling looking for spots. The more pessimistic view, which my colleague Anthony Townsend suggested, is that the city streets will just be crawling with these cars that kind of ran errands for their owners, like picking up the dry cleaning, and the traffic will be at a standstill with vehicles with no passengers.
Okay. Well, that doesn't sound like we have something good to look forward to in the future right now. But I'm sure the NYU Rudin Center will figure it all out for us and clear the way.
Right. Well,
Sarah Kaufman from the NYU Rudin Center, thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show. And
thanks,
I hope you'll come
me.
Back sometime.
I hope so, too.
Okay, information here, folks, you don't get anywhere else. You just don't get it anywhere else. We have, all the lines are lit up here, everything. So let's just, Bob, you wanted to talk about toll prices. Bob, you're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
How you doing, Dave? You guys got a really interesting story, because this brings out the point where, not even just New York, but Connecticut is affected. I'm coming through Connecticut, I got to go visit a friend of mine, and I'm on Bluetooth. So the thing is, I got to go through the Verrazano, pay all tolls through trucks, and then go through the furrows just to go visit a friend over there. But it's not you, but the politicians are gouging tons of money to go visit a friend. And where does it go? Where's that $60 billion all along the Connecticut borderline, the Jersey borderline, New York borderline that they haven't spent on? A lot of people can't get their houses. The money sitting in the bank. How come they can't use those funds, $60 billion, to fix the roads? How come they can't make two levels of streets so you can have one for trucking and one for regular commercial? I think they don't think upon this. And the biggest part, Dave, I love you guys in New York, but one question I got to ask. When this guy de Blasio came to office, he put all the new plates, so now I know who's a city official because it's a city of New York. I didn't know you guys have so many cars. You guys are getting taxed on. I mean, I don't know. I'm real here. I don't know. But hey, you're an interesting show, guy. You bring out a lot of stuff. Oh, and one more thing. I have to go to Central Park. Tell these guys if this guy de Blasio is talking about, we're going to bring money into the city, so you're building rich buildings. I have to go through Central Park on 62 Madison and Park. Let me tell you something. When you got three lanes of cement trucks and only one lane of traffic trying to get through along that busy highway, why are they giving them the right to build these buildings if they can't let the traffic go through?
Traffic has never been worse. Traffic's never been slower. Okay, the public's not being served properly. You're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. So I guess you wouldn't be in favor of tolling the free bridges, like the Brooklyn Bridge and the 59th Street Bridge.
Well, how about they just build the bridges, build new bridges that would cost half the funding that... The reason why you're getting told so they can fix these bridges. Why don't you make 50-year-old bridges that you could take apart after a while and put one up so you don't have to spend the 2,000-3,000 people to keep putting cement on top of it on things, and you wouldn't have to pay the tolls, because then it would be a lot easier to maintain the bridges. You build them for 50 years, you take them down, you put another one up. And then meanwhile, you have the Brooklyn Bridge has been there painting and just putting the rock back into the things. The best thing for that bridge would be is to make it a park and laminate all the steel so it doesn't rust, and then you build the new bridges.
Bob has my vote for head of the transportation, the DOT,
right.
The Department of Transportation. Thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show and calling in. Let's take one more call before we break. Clem, fasten your seatbelts, folks. Clem, you're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Yeah, hi, Dave. Dave, I was watching the TV, and the subject was Uber. A lady, he tried in vain to dissuade Uwe from trying to enforce the bill she got for a half-hour ride. It was for over $12,000.
So I read about that.
Yes.
That's a true story, folks.
Yes. She went to the TV station, and they tried and tried and tried, and finally they got results. You see, now, Councilman Greenfield said the average ride for an Uber passenger is $39 a mile, and then it is known they raise it up on a whim. If it starts to drizzle, they use that as an excuse to raise it up. The question is, how does the Taxi and Limousine Commission let this stay in practice when in many countries they have banned Uber? And it's very mysterious. People speculate that the Transportation Committee is getting paid off by Uber.
Gosh. Be careful there, Clem. Be careful with those claims. Listen, you know, you bring things to light that make people think. So I want to thank you for holding on the phone and everybody who's holding on the phone. We're lit up like a Christmas tree here. You know, you're a regular caller. We missed you last week. People were asking about you. Are you okay, Clem? You feeling all right? Good. I'm glad. I'm glad. But I do want to thank you for listening to the Taxi Dave Show. When we come back, we will take your phone calls at 1-800-321-0710. You make the show, folks. It's a live show. We take your calls. I'm Taxi Dave. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show.
Just you stand by me.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Benny King has left this earth. That's why you're hearing Benny King songs. Either you hear his voice or he wrote the songs. Taxi Dave is back. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Artie, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for taking my call. First and foremost, I want to thank you, Dave, for all you do for the New York City taxi industry. Your voice is the voice of reason, and it needs to be continually communicated to the listeners. So keep up the outstanding job. We all love you.
Oh, that's very nice to hear, Artie. Is this a love fest, or do you want to talk about something?
Well, my main reason for calling, I was watching a Fox News release on television where Charlie Gasparino indicated that Melrose is threatening a lawsuit demanding that Attorney General Snyderman investigate the taxi laws in New York City. They specifically that New York City is negligent in enforcing the taxi laws.
That was on a couple of weeks ago. We actually played excerpts from it, Artie. And, it's pre-litigation mode. I really can't talk much about stuff like that, but I will ask you this. What's your take on Uber?
My take on Uber is that it is operating outside of the guidelines of the New York City taxi laws and regulations, and that the app is simply a method to get around the legality of the New York City laws, and I think if it's challenged in court, I think that an app is tantamount to a street hail, in my opinion.
Are you an attorney?
No, but I've worked with attorneys with the government in the Postal Service for many years.
Oh, really? Well, I like you. You got to keep listening and calling in more often. Thanks for calling into the Taxi Dave Show, Artie. I do appreciate it. Let's see. I'm going to, in between calls, I'm going to give you a little news, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Scott Stringer, who still has not come on the show, although he's been asked 86 times different ways. But he's done another study, and he says Express Bus Service, in his audit, found that a third of the express buses are just the opposite of express. They're not running on time, and they have delays between 6 and 28 minutes. You know, there's millions of people who take express buses each year. And what the city controller, Scott Stringer, said, when one of three of those buses are not on time, it impacts every borough and hits our city's economy, our economic competitiveness. And the WNYC, who wrote the story, said that the MTA had not responded to their request for a comment. So can you imagine, you know, this past year, express buses, I think, went up another buck each, and you're going to be up to a half an hour late. Why? The same reason cabs can't get around Manhattan, and cars can't get around Manhattan. You have bike lanes in the left lane. You have express bus lanes in the right lane, and even the buses are half an hour late. Cabs can't make certain turns, okay? It's crazy. Pedestrian malls. I didn't know Broadway down by past 23rd Street goes into one lane. It used to be three lanes. It's crazy out there. You know, it looks very pretty, and summertime's coming, and yay and hooray for us. But my God, here's an email. Fifth Avenue was packed with... I can't read that. Fifth Avenue was packed with effing Uber cars at the rush hour the other night. They were hustling like crazy, and in a bizarre world moment, I had a few of them ask me if I wanted to join, and I drive a yellow cab. I told them I was too busy making money and that Uber is over, which they didn't like. And a smiley face on that email. Thank you for sending it to taxihail@AOL.com. Okay. Let's take Chabel. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Thanks for your time. I'd like your show, Mr. David, and I do have a couple of topics to talk about. First of all, DOT, they are not doing the job. They don't know their left from their right. They mess up the traffic. They create a lot of traffic. They should hire intelligent people, and also the commissioner of DOT, she should take her car and drive the whole day in New York City streets to check the where we have major traffic, like you were saying about the MTA buses can't get there on time because of some stupid law and regulations from DOT.
Aren't you the guy, Chabelle, that said 10 years ago you used to have 45 fares in a shift and now you're doing 25 fares?
Correct.
And that's not because of a lack of passengers. You led me to believe it was because of traffic.
Yes, sir. Exactly. That's the point. By creating the bike lane, the bus lane, the two streets, Bloomberg is gone. De Blasio should open new page and get rid of the DOT commissioner and taxi and limousine commissioner.
Ooh.
He should bring his own people to take care of the city, take care of the traffic, take care of the taxi and limousine commission. You can't keep a Bloomberg administration going.
You know, maybe one reason there's so much traffic is because you have thousands of more cars that are licensed by the TLC in the Central Business District and not servicing the middle class and lower classes in the outer boroughs like originally people thought they would do. That might have something to do with it. Everybody wants a piece of the yellow industry. Everybody wants a piece of the yellow industry. Well, you know what? We have 70 years of regulation behind us. People can put their kids in a yellow cab and say, go ahead, take them to school, take them to their friend's house, without worrying about anything. The drivers are licensed. Well, we know all about the drivers. We know all about the cars being inspected. They're very similar. But, you know, our drivers pass English proficiency tests. Okay? They pass a test. You have to know the rules. You have to know where you're going. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show and for calling in. I do appreciate it. Here we have something from Senator Tony Avella. You know, there's been excessive noise, more so years ago, from airplanes at LaGuardia Airport and JFK, and a lot of people were very upset. He really spearheaded an effort to reduce the noise, and he wants everyone to know that there's been a lot of progress made. In fact, he's had meetings for the last 2.5 years with the Port Authority and the Federal Aviation, the FAA. All right? And now there's something called the New York Airports Roundtable, and he has been named the representative of the state Senate as one of the 62 voting members of the roundtable. So congratulations to Senator Tony Avella. He's been on the show a number of times. Congratulations for all your advocacy, helping constituents who live around and businesses who live around and schools who live around, work around, and go to school around LaGuardia and Kennedy airports. Let's see. Mike Spivak. Wow, Mike Spivak, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show. How you doing?
Good evening, Taxi Dave. It's a pleasure to be on your fun show.
Oh, good to have you back. So what's going on in your world, Mike?
Well, David, I'm an attorney in the taxi industry, and one of the things I do is help taxi cab drivers, among other drivers, with tickets. And I've been noticing a disturbing trend, which I hope isn't a major trend. I've seen police enforcing the law in an improper way, and I'm getting disturbed by it. I've seen police officers writing summonses to massive amounts of motorists at one time. So, for instance, they were having stings on 1st Avenue and 3rd Avenue on the east side, where they would have school buses without children getting on and off. They were pulling over motorists.
You're breaking up, Mike. Can you make it a little clearer?
Sure. They were pulling over motorists in mass, not one at a time, but like 10 motorists passing school buses when kids weren't. It wasn't really kids getting on and off a school bus. It was just enforcement for enforcement's sake, and that's not the proper way that police officers should be enforcing the law.
Let me get this straight. They get a school bus with no kids on it, so they take a school bus from somewhere, go through the expense of getting one. Do they put the stop signs out and the flashers on so cars have to stop?
Sometimes they put the stop signs out. Sometimes they just put the flashers on. There are no kids getting on and off the bus, which is a requirement of a school bus ticket. And they write summonses en masse for numerous drivers at the same time for passing the school bus allegedly illegally. And that's problematic. They shouldn't. Sometimes they do that for seatbelt tickets. Sometimes they do it for cell phone tickets. It's not proper police procedure. The police should stop people when they observe a violation of the law, kind of as it happens. They shouldn't set up a sting operation.
Was this school bus thing in April?
Yes.
Okay, because in March, just to let you know, in March for the whole city, I have the stats in front of me. Passing a stop school bus, only 185 summonses were given out in the entire city. But you mentioned seatbelt. For no seatbelts for the month of March, 6,845 summonses were written for not wearing a seatbelt. Just thought I'd let you know that. So if there's a big spike next month, okay, in April from 185, you're going to come back on the show.
I would hope that the police commissioner isn't targeting motorists in an improper way, and that the police are enforcing the laws properly and not using techniques that are improper. And Vision Zero is a great thing in many ways and not so great in other ways, but the law should be enforced properly, and that's what lawyers are here for, and people should avail themselves of their rights.
All right, well, why don't you stay on the line, if you don't mind. If we need you, we'll kick in. Can we do that, Noah? Thank you. The number one summons written by NYPD in the entire city, citywide, for March, is disobeying a traffic control device. Almost 15,000 summonses in the month of March. The second highest, Vision Zero, is kicking in. Speeding. Almost 11,000 speeding summonses in New York City. And you know what? You know, I was really upset a couple of weeks ago. Two incidents where young drivers, cars filled with people, I don't know, they were leaving a club, I don't know, you know, what condition they were in, but one of the cars driving 100 miles an hour on a city street, 4:30 in the morning, give me a break. You know, you're asking for trouble there. But almost 11,000 summonses. And you know what's the third? I can't believe this. Tinted windows. Haven't you people learned? Tinted windows. 8,000 summonses. You're supporting New York City with your tinted windows. But it looks cool, doesn't it? Here's an email. Hi, Taxi Dave. By now, Mr. de Blasio and TLC Chairwoman Zoshi have been in the office more than a year and on this show. Ms. Zoshi said she was training new TLC agents to clean up the streets. To this day, there are more gypsies on the road, and no one is stopping them. We've almost completely lost the hotel business to Uber and black cars. We don't see any enforcement at the airports. Uber drivers drive all the time, circling in arrival and departures, picking up people. Taxis are hurting. It's become very hard for us to make money. We're under vicious attack by some unknown research company that taxi drivers are overcharging customers going to LaGuardia. We all know who's behind the story. TLC didn't come to our defense. Every customer has a navigation. They tell us how to go, whether it's the long way or the short way. And it seems that Mr. Bloomberg and Mr. Yasky are still running the TLC behind the scenes. May God help us. Thank you, a desperate taxi driver, Mike. Wow. That was some email we got there. We got some more emails we'll read. I'll tell you what. When we come back, we'll read emails. We'll take your phone calls at 800-321-0710. This is the Taxi Dave Show, and I think I'm Taxi Dave. I got to go look in the mirror and make sure after what's been going on here tonight. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show. Oh,
seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me, whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Oh, I know.
Oh, I know.
That the music's
yes,
fine like sparkling
oh,
wine. Go and have your
yes,
fun.
Oh, I know.
Laugh and sing.
Yes, I know.
But while we're apart,
oh,
don't give your heart to anyone.
Oh,
but don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So, darling,
say the last dance for me. Taxi Dave is back, the late, great Benny King. It's not Benny, it's Ben E. King. My gosh. Another great musician. In New York City, on every taxi fare, there's 30 cents added for wheelchair-accessible vehicles, which we are going to have more of starting January 2016. Just to let everyone know, it's not May 31st that those payments are due. It's May 1st. So you can do it online. May 1st, those payments for the first quarter of 2015 have to be paid to the TLC on the 30 cents, just to let you know, folks, okay? We do have Mike Spivak with us. Hey, Mike, if someone has a problem with all these tickets, let's say it's somebody that got one of those bus summonses, and, you know, you're aware of it, so how do they contact you?
David, they could call me at 212-754-1011. That's 212-754-1011.
Okay. And once again, I want to welcome all our new listeners who were listening to us last week after the Mets game on Saturday. I want to apologize to all your listeners who listened on Sunday and we weren't here. We were here, but, you know, you were in the right place, but the wrong time. It was Saturday night for Taxi Dave last week. Some states, this is statistical from a retired taxi driver down in Florida who listened to the Taxi Dave show. New York, New Jersey, California, Massachusetts, Texas, Virginia, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Hawaii, Illinois, North Carolina, South Carolina. In that order, there are people who go on the website, which is nyctaxinews.com. There's no affiliation. That's owned by a retired taxi owner, taxi driver. And that's nyctaxinews.com. Right now, let's take a call from Tom. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Dave, this is Taxi Tom for 55 years. A taxi, an owner and driver. Memorial Day weekend, 55 years, and I never seen the conditions like they are today, especially with traffic. How is that that the city of New York would allow another 1,400, 1,500 cars to Uber to run the streets of New York and create the congestion there is? I mean, how do they allow this thing? There's something wrong with this whole structure. Where's the environmental rules? I mean, there's a lot of things we can talk about. Where is all the medallions that they sold for millions of dollars to owners, independent owners, fleet owners, that are going bankrupt, unfortunately, because Uber came into the picture and stole all their drivers? What is going to happen here?
If you read the Taxi Insider newspaper for May, former TLC commissioner Matt Dawes actually wrote an article about why the medallion is going to survive everything. It's a great article. You should get the newspaper. If you go to your broker, if you go to your lender, if you go to your garage, they don't have it. Tell them you want it. You want to read it. I mean, you know, I'll deliver it anywhere. I don't care. I want people to read it. It's free. Doesn't cost anything to read. In fact, you can read it online if you have a computer at nyctaxinews.com. But there are some people, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and Matt Dawes is just giving you the other side. I mean, you're the voice of experience, Tom. You know, you've been driving on and off for 55 years, and it's certainly straight for 50 years. What could I say? I want to thank you for calling and listening in. Anything else you want to tell our listeners before you go? Because we've got some more callers.
The only one thing I'd like to say, Dave, you're running a great show, and you've got some great people, and it was good to see that lawyer back again.
Mike Spivak's still with us.
All right. Tell him, give him my regards. Tell him he's doing a good job. I'll see him soon.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome, Tom. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here, and I am Taxi Dave. Hey, get that bicycle out of here. Jesus. Joe, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Listen, I'm listening to the lawyer complain about the police taking a fake school bus and putting the red lights on and seeing which motorists break the law. I fail to see how he has a problem with that. Is he not interested in the safety of children?
Joe, you know something? I'm glad you brought that up because Mike Spivak is still on the show, if I'm correct.
Good.
So, Mike, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, of course I'm interested in the safety of children. I have a 5-year-old daughter who goes to school herself on a school bus. So, of course, I'm interested in the safety of children.
All right, Mike, let Joe finish what he was going to say.
Well, what I'm saying is, I think it would be much more difficult for the police to have to time themselves to be there when a school bus is going past or stopping at a school bus stop. They don't necessarily know where all the school buses stop. So what's wrong with them having a little bit of a sting? We have roadside sobriety checks, right? We have people acting like 13-year-old girls, so some perverts try to get a date with them, and then we arrest them. How is this any different than that?
It's different because a sting, they stop a certain number of vehicles per stop. So they have a random number, and they have to stop, say, every fifth vehicle at the sting. Here, they're stopping everybody who goes past a school bus at the same time, which leads to bad police procedure. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have police observing school buses where people are getting on and off, but it's the sting operation, to me, as a lawyer, doesn't sit right with me, doesn't feel right with me. And I'm in favor of protecting the children getting on and off the buses, and I don't want, you know, morons driving past school buses at high rates of speed when they should be stopping. But that's not what's going on here. They're picking locations that are difficult for the motorist to see the bus, and then they're pulling over massive amounts of motorists at the same time. To me, it seems like revenue generation in the hiding. They're like wolves in sheep's clothing. They're hiding and raising money for the city when they're not really enforcing safety, and that's a problem that I'm having. I'm in favor of safety. I'm not in favor of using tickets to raise revenue and to hurt motorists. It's 5 points on your license if you get found guilty when they shouldn't be hurt.
As well it should be. The way you fix traffic problems, the way you fix terrible driving is consequences to their actions. This is just another consequence. And if let me tell you something. If a motorist can't see a 35-foot yellow school bus that's about 10 feet high with flashing red lights, if a motorist can't see that, that motorist shouldn't be on the road, because chances are they are probably either legally blind or ignorant.
Okay, Joe. Listen, I really thank you for calling the Taxi Dave Show. And you know, there's nothing like two sides to the story. You know, you listen to Joe, and, you know, you understand where he's coming from. You listen to Mike, you know, an attorney. You understand where he's coming from. It's a very good argument. So, folks, you have to decide yourself, you know, which side of this discussion are you on. Joe, do you happen to be a police officer? Okay, we lost Joe. But I want to thank you for listening to the Taxi Dave Show. Very, very good discussion. I got to thank you so much. I just want to get this in before we take some more calls. The show's, how much time do we have, Noah? Okay. Ready for this? Governor Cuomo can now drive himself to any emergency in his Corvette. And that's because the Cuomo administration quietly changed the state regulation, reclassifying any motor vehicle owned or operated by the governor and a handful of other top officials as emergency vehicles, allowing them to have flashing red and white emergency lights. That's interesting. You know, I remember when some New York City politicians would speed on the thruway heading up to Albany, and state police would stop them saying, "I don't care who the heck you are, you're speeding. You know, you're doing 95, 100 miles an hour, and you're going to get a speeding summons." At least the driver did. So this is very interesting. The Cuomo administration reclassifying any motor vehicle owned or operated by the governor or a handful of top officials as emergency vehicles. I just wanted to get that in. Bon, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show. You're live on the air. Going once.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. My issue is not the school buses. I have an issue with the parking tickets. My daughter took me on two occasions. One picked me up at the hospital for special surgery, and the second time was to see the doctor after the surgery. And both times got a parking ticket and never had the ticket put on the car. Had a handicap on the mirror. We're from New Jersey. and you have a card that also goes with it to validate that that's the person that the shield is for. And got a letter in the mail a month later on both occasions saying that we neglected to pay the parking ticket. And the issue was is I would call her when I left the doctor's office and make my way down, and she would come around to pick me up. And she wasn't there for more than maybe 5 minutes, 10 at the tops. And the second time that she got the ticket, that she was there, she saw a car go around that had traffic, parking bureau, I believe, said. And apparently, they just get the license plate numbers, and then they don't issue the ticket or put it on a vehicle, and then you get a done for another fee because you ignored the ticket.
You hear that, folks? You know, you hear that? I mean, welcome to New York City. If you're in Thailand, okay, if you're in Nebraska and you're listening to this, it's like, how can that happen? It wouldn't. I will tell you this. You know, I got to thank you for calling in and bringing that point up. I remember a few years ago, they actually penalized traffic enforcement agent in particular, or maybe more than one, for sitting in a restaurant, looking out a window, writing down plate numbers. And that's how he would give out summonses. Listen, Bob, we're running out of time. Call back next week. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. I want to thank our guest, Sarah Kaufman from the NYU Rudin, from Rudin, whatever it is, transportation. All you callers, all you listeners, thank you so much. Frank Venizia got called away at the last minute. He'll be back with us next week. Let's go Rangers. Let's go Mets. Let's go Yankees. Got to go now. Hey, taxi, don't give me a parking ticket. Take a taxi.
This has been a podcast from WOR.